tells you like it is. He knows no other way. A sickness of his own. Tepula doesn't miss a thing. You got to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I've got. Road rage. Nothing you can. What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, producer Ramona?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I asked the big boss here, Hennis. I was in his office, and strangely, like some of the other people here, there's nothing on the walls. In his office, there's nothing on the walls, but he does have a little bookcase with some things on it. One of them, Ramona, is a photographed picture of Wayne Newton.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I figured like there had to be a story behind that. There actually is. And then I said, "Is he alive or dead?" He said, "I don't know. It's the dead game." We need to bring the dead game back. I'm not really good at the dead game. Is Wayne Newton alive or dead, Ramona? You know, he had this massive auto collection of all these exotic automobiles. I know that. I mean, he looks like he's had lots, like Barry Manilow level plastic surgery. At least
he is 84.
So he's alive.
Yeah, he's still around.
So he still has his car collection, then, I would guess. So how about that? So would you have gotten Wayne Newton alive in the dead game?
Probably not.
No, you would not. You would have gone.
I think I was talking to somebody about going to Vegas, and I thought he was dead when I was talking about.
Yeah, I think
like,
I thought.
Where was he?
Yeah, I think I thought he was dead too.
Because I didn't
now,
see
hopefully
any
he doesn't,
signs.
Hopefully he doesn't die during the show today.
We did see a sign with him on it, so I guess he was.
He was what?
In Vegas.
Well, I mean, he's in Vegas, but I don't know if he's in Vegas anymore. I don't think. I don't think he performs anymore, does he?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, Mick Jagger does.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So I mean, how old's Jagger?
I don't know. I think he's 82. Also,
it's just insane. That's insane. Now, again, he's just, you know, it's funny. The rest of the world takes all these vitamins, everything, French mountain diet to live to be 100. This dude's diet is drugs, and he looks like he's going to outlive everybody. And he looks like he's healthier than everybody. So apparently we've done it all wrong.
Apparently.
Illicit drugs was the way to go. And they never told
us
that. We could have started early, Ramona, and lived to be 175.
Could it be?
Yeah. We are talking SEC quarterbacks today, and it occurs to me, like, when we're done with this, we are going to maybe merge the two lists, ACC and SEC, and see how we would rank them when we merge them. I know which two guys will be at the bottom, the same two ACC guys that are at the bottom every time I do it, Billy Edwards and at the very bottom for North Carolina, who's just who's not good and is in a terrible situation. But like we said yesterday, with the SEC quarterbacks, I don't hate any of them. I think that every team in the SEC's got a guy who can play, and that has never happened before. I mean, honestly, I don't ever remember a situation where I thought half of the league's quarterbacks could play. But this year, I actually think that all 16 of these guys can play. So that's unique. I don't remember seeing that. We're going to talk some Clemson basketball too. Did you hear from our friend BW yet, or did you even try and contact BW yet?
I emailed him. I talked to you about it out there. You weren't listening.
Well, I suggested to you that we do that, but
I said, "Oh, I emailed him."
Oh, I know. I don't remember you saying that.
Why do we even have conversations?
I don't know. Maybe you want to send him a piece of mail through the post office? I mean, what's wrong with the phone?
He answers email faster than he answers text.
All right. Well, we'll find out about that. But at some point today, we're going to talk some Clemson basketball. And we might bring that back a little bit tomorrow. Ramona, before we do anything else, do you have my little clip here? Is that a yes? No? Maybe?
I can get it.
You what?
I have to open up.
Okay. I found this clip on Today in History. Today in History, because apparently, Ramona, Alex Trebek, former host of Jeopardy, he's dead, right?
Yes.
Okay. Alex Trebek, RIP, Alex Trebek, former host of Jeopardy, was born today, Ramona, in the year 1940. And I bumped into this clip from Today in History. You know how occasionally, Ramona, they throw in a sports category on Jeopardy?
Yeah.
And then see if the nerds could get get any of the answers. I mean, now there's embarrassing effort, and then there's really embarrassing effort. And when the females in the audience are snickering and laughing at the answers or the non-answers that are being offered, then you know it's bad. So I've got, here's what we have, Ramona. There's one category left on the board, all right? And there obviously the three players, two males, obviously of the beta variety, two males, a woman in the middle, and they have left this category for last, Ramona. Nobody has gone to the category of football. They have dodged and ignored this category as long as they possibly can. All right, so now they are compelled, Ramona, because it's the last category on the board. So meekly, dude says, give me football. All right, Ramona, Alex Trebek. Born today, 1940, from Today in History.
Football, 200.
Your choice, do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. It's an option play. Ryan?
Football, 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans.
Yeah.
Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team. Dallas Cowboys. Do you think we should go to commercial? Ryan?
Take it on to 600.
Okay, by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled. Fair catch. Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out. And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it.
As Minneapolis's U.S. Bank Stadium...
What happened to it?
Football, 200.
Why is it starting over?
I'm looking at the Ring of Honor, with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to four Super Bowls.
If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die. Who are the purple people eaters? We're going to take a break. I have to talk to them.
If you guys get this one, I will die. Because obviously the degree of difficulty in the last one, much higher. They had all of the easy questions. I just thought it was funny. You could hear all the women in the audience laughing their butts off.
Everybody was laughing.
Laughing, especially starting with the second one. The second one was the no-brainer give me. Okay, you don't like football, okay? You don't like football. I don't care, okay? How do you not know who Tom Landry coached? You know what I mean? I mean, there are just certain things that you know by osmosis. You know, any of these people who were trying to get into the country illegally, if you had stopped them at the border and said, okay, we'll let you get in if you can tell us who Tom Landry coached, they would have said Dallas. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Are you there? Is this thing working? Hello. I know you got off to a slow start out there, but what just happened a minute ago? How did we go?
It sounded like a commercial. Is that what you're talking about? What are you talking about?
No.
I was waiting for you to pause.
Well, the clip went back to the beginning for a second, and then
that was my fault.
Then it fast forward. Okay, then it fast forward again. For three people, Ramona, two adult males, and a female in the middle, you can't get one of those questions.
Surely they would have got the offsetting penalties the way it was described.
You could have guessed that.
Yeah.
Without having any knowledge of football,
they cancel each other
right.
out.
Right. You could have guessed that one. But the Tom Landry one. I mean, how do you not know that Tom Landry coached the Dallas Cowboys? I don't know how you live in this country. See, now if we're actually going to deport people, we should start with those people. You know, if you can't
Jeopardy people?
Yes, if you don't know that Tom Landry coached the Dallas Cowboys, you're out. We're gonna relegate you. Seriously, if you don't know that Tom Landry coached the Dallas Cowboys, you can't live here. You have to go. We're shipping you out. Deported. I'm calling Tom home. I mean, come on. Are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? Man, I don't.
Okay.
I would get rid of him. That was unbelievably embarrassing. In fact, let me hear that whole thing.
It sounded like he was answering them all.
He
knew them.
Oh well, I mean,
Alex Trebek. I know he's got the answers.
He was nonplussed. Right, he's Canadian.
He knew all the answers to those,
and he's Canadian. You could tell he's like, oh come on, you people can't be that stupid. You could tell that's what he's thinking. All right, one more time.
Football 200.
Your choice. Do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. It's an option play, Ryan.
Football 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans.
Yeah.
Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team. Dallas Cowboys. Do you think we should go to commercial? Ryan?
Take it on to 600.
Okay, by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled. Fair catch. Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out. And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it.
As Minneapolis's U.S. Bank Stadium prepares for Super Bowl 52, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to four Super Bowls.
If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die. Who are the purple people eaters? We're going to take a break. I have to talk to them.
Did you know the last one, Ramona? Just out of curiosity, did you know the last one?
The purple people? No, I didn't. I didn't know the purple.
Do you know it now that you heard it? You should have known that.
I should have.
Being here all this time, yeah. Alan Page, Jim Marshall, that old bunch, Carl Eller, Purple People Eaters, one of the
I've heard of the Purple People Eaters.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't know that was the answer to the question.
Yeah, well, I don't mean that song. I mean the actual...
I don't know a song named Purple People Eaters.
I believe there is. I believe there's a song by that name. How about the Fearsome Foursome?
I don't know who that is.
Can you name one member of the Fearsome Foursome?
No.
You probably could.
I could.
Deacon Jones.
I've heard of
Merlin Olsen, the Flower Man.
I've heard of all of them.
You know, we were actually talking about the NFL ratings one day. We never got back to that. We need to do that. But you can make a case that Merlin Olsen, actually, going back to the Purple People Eaters, you can make a case that Merlin Olsen and Alan Page, that's Merlin Olsen of the Fearsome Foursome, and Alan Page of the Purple People Eaters, that they're the two greatest defensive tackles in history. You can make that argument. You could also make a case that Deacon Jones is the greatest defensive end in history. And in both cases, these would actually be solid arguments. These are not in any way reaches. I mean, it's funny because, like, as a part of that, I went back and looked when we were talking about the NFL in the top 25, and trying to come up with these number one draft pick choices. I went back and sort of watched some of the film of Deacon Jones again, and he was so friggin' dominant. But what also just popped up repeatedly is that Merlin Olsen, you know, and they would talk about Deacon Jones and how it creates, you know, one-on-one matchups for everybody else. But Merlin Olsen would whoop his man, like, just in a heartbeat, like on every snap. The people who lined up against Merlin Olsen had no chance. And that defensive front had both those guys on the same side of the line. You had to block Merlin Olsen and Deacon Jones on the same side of the line, which was just impossible. Waltip Tula Road Rage, we'll be right back.
Speed on the bases, power at the plate, Gold Glove defense across the diamond. The Stars of Atlanta are ready to take the field.
Michael Harris going to sprint back, and he somehow makes the catch Willie Mays style and goes into the wall.
For every pitch from March to October,
we are your home for Atlanta Braves baseball.
Right here on The Roar,
the Upstate Sports Authority, 105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar,
where every day is game day.
You're on the phone all day.
So why not spend that time texting your favorite radio host?
Join the party on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line at 864-654-ROAR.
Think back to the last time that you actually felt good in your own skin. I'm not talking about just acceptable or, you know, this is nice. I'm talking about really good, like full of energy and comfortable and brimming with confidence when you walk into a room or on a beach or at a barbecue or something like that without pulling at your clothes, avoiding the camera, doing things that just feel like you're just not quite.
Kevin writes, I know you're not a Clark fan, but have you read this? Wow, this journalism. Now, yeah, okay. This is Christine Brennan or Nancy Armour. Okay, this is Nancy Armour. All right, it's not hard to explain. I have multiple people sending me this, Ramona. You talk about a situation that just keeps growing and getting completely out of hand, and now it's being buoyed by some of the nutcases who write for the USA Today. And the USA Today, so this is what Nancy, this is a excerpt, Ramona, from Nancy Armour's clip about Caitlin Clark. And Portnoy called this the dumbest paragraph in the history of sports. I don't know about that, but this is what she actually said, Ramona. It shouldn't need reminding this country has an awful history of black people being harmed. Now, remember, we're talking about basketball, okay? It shouldn't need reminding. It shouldn't need reminding. First of all, the wording of that is very strange for a writer. It shouldn't need reminding this country has an awful history of black people being harmed, even killed, in the name of defending white women. The WNBA's All-Star Game this weekend's in Chicago. Emmett Till's hometown and a local gallery is currently hosting an exhibit imagining his life if he hadn't been lynched. While it's incumbent on the WNBA to do more to protect his players, there also should be an expectation on Clark to recognize the wider consequences of her actions.
What?
I mean, Ramona, some of these people are literally insane. Listen, you friggin' idiot. This is basketball, okay? This is not historical racism. Does racism still exist? Yeah. Generally, it's not found to the same extent it's found in civil society, in sports. You know, the sports are a melting pot where these things come together. This is not, this is being made into a racial issue constantly. And again, listen, I have actually basically gone after Caitlin Clark. The whole world has been supporting her erroneously because they don't watch, they don't know what's actually happened. But this is a bridge too far. This is utter, ridiculous hogwash. This is basketball, okay? And this is not even a racial issue. This is, Caitlin Clark is a world-class a-hole. Everybody who plays the game knows it. They don't like her. Whether it's black, white, it doesn't matter. They don't like her. But the other side has turned this into a complete racial issue, too. So now Nancy Armour, who's a left-leaning kook. I mean, she's basically a lunatic. I mean, she's come out with this truly is one of the most ridiculous paragraphs ever written. We are now going to blow up a basketball issue because you've got one a-hole and a few other a-holes on the other side, and we're going to turn this into something that it's not. Caitlin Clark has received seven technical fouls this year. One more and she gets suspended for a game. She is a juvenile. She's always been a juvenile. She was the same way. Her behavior was terrible, awful, ridiculous when she was at Iowa. She's a brat and everybody knows it. So she's treated like a brat. But this is really for both sides and for everybody involved in this. Stop making everything racial. Is there a racial component in this eventually? Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's a little bit of it, but that's not the genesis of it. The genesis of it, it's not like all the black players in the WNBA hate the white chick, as the right has tried to say. That's false. These are from people who don't watch the games. They don't watch the games. But this is also false. This is the other extreme. This is actually just plain nuts. I mean, comparing it to lynchings and the history of the past and how black people were harmed, even killed in the name of defending white women. What on earth are you talking about? This is basketball, you freaking idiot. I mean, we always have to take things way too far. This is so beyond hyperbolic that this is truly, I have to agree with Portnoy, this is one of the most extreme, ridiculous things I've ever seen written. It's just utterly laughable. Again, it's basketball. If anybody actually took the time to watch this stuff, you'd understand it all. It's not really a mystery. It's not really a mystery.
I don't even know what to say to that. They like Paige Beckers, right?
Yeah, they love Paige Beckers.
They don't like this girl.
Right. They don't like her.
Watch her on the court, now she acts. No, right. They don't like her. They all stand around and go, oh, yeah, you're doing that again.
Exactly.
And even her teammates kind of do that.
Exactly.
Because they kind of stand over her and kind of like, oh, yeah, she's my teammate. I got to act like I care that she's down there.
Exactly right. And so you expect a whole league of players to accept all of her conduct? No. So that's on the right side. That's the side, and this includes, quite frankly, Laura Ingraham and others who don't know a single thing about any of this, but think that they know all the details because they're just parroting misinformation. And they've seen some highlight on social media. If you actually watched the games, if you actually watched her play at Iowa, you would better understand a lot of this. But this is the flip side. This is turning it around to a completely different degree and inventing a whole racial history and turning it into something that it's absolutely not. I mean, I'm sorry. We're going to compare debates in basketball because you've got a couple people who are just complete a-holes on both sides of the equation. We're going to turn that into lynchings and the history of black America in the United States?
Are they trying to say, are they looking at the defensive part of basketball where they're all bumming at each other and all that and trying to turn that into something? They're fighting or something?
Look, Nancy Armour's a well-known kook, all right? She is an extremist to the nth degree, and everybody on both sides knows it. I don't think anyone takes anything she says seriously, and here's another good example. Because, I mean, this is just utter hyperbolic hogwash. I mean, you talk about going way, way past what the issue actually is. That's her. So honestly, you know what? We're never gray here. We have people on both sides of this issue who have no idea what they're talking about. None. They don't watch it. They don't know. And so they're inventing their own little narratives on both sides of this issue. And it's the whole thing is reprehensible. If you actually watched it, you'd understand it, and then you wouldn't sound like such an idiot. But, of course, all you have are idiots talking to idiots, so it gets accepted. It shouldn't need reminding this country. First of all, again, that's barely English. It shouldn't need reminding this country has an awful history of black people being harmed, even killed, in the name of defending white women.
And what's that?
Who knows?
What does that mean?
Who knows? This woman is so blanked up in the head.
They're so wanting to make everything racist. Right. They can't even figure out a good argument to try to make it that way.
Right. The WNBA's All-Star Game this weekend is in Chicago, Emmett Till's hometown, and a local art gallery is currently hosting the exhibit Imagining His Life If He Hadn't Been Lynched. While it's incumbent on the WNBA to do more to protect its players, there also should be an expectation on Clark to recognize the wider consequence of her actions. Listen, you idiot. Clark doesn't need to recognize the wider consequence of her actions as it relates to race. She needs to stop being such an a-hole to everybody of every race. That's who she is. That's who she is. The sooner people understand that part of this, the more they'll understand the rest of it. Instead of just on both sides are making this all about race. The right wants to make it all about race and saying, oh, all these awful thuggish black women want to beat up the sweet white girl from Iowa. That's what the right is actually saying. These are people who don't watch any of this. On the other side, this nutcase wants to compare it to lynching and say that the history of black people being harmed, even killed in the name of defending white women. What on earth are you talking about, you hyperbolic idiot? I mean, you absolute lunatic. When's enough enough? Why don't you all just stop? Watch some of it. Understand some of what's going on. Because when you get to the heart of this, whether you think so or not, this isn't about race. It's not. It's not. The league loves Paige Beckers. Every player in the league loves Paige Beckers. There's no other white player in the league that's facing this. This is the female Luka Doncic. That's what she is. So this is really not about black and white. Oh, there may be some tiny little element of it in it, but that's not what this is about. It's not what it started as. This is about a woman who is an absolute a-hole and always has been. I mean, again, go back and watch some of the film from Iowa where her father had to be yelling at her from the stands to knock it off. She's been out of control forever. She has 7 technical fouls. And quite honestly, she should probably have 30. And she's the worst type of play actor. She fakes injury on every single issue. There's enough real things there without inventing a racial thing on both sides. And both sides are guilty. Both sides are. There's a truth here. It's in the middle. But nobody wants to be in the middle. You got factions yelling at each other. I don't think any of these people watch the games. It shouldn't need reminding. This country has an awful history of black people being harmed, even killed, in the name of defending white women. This Ramona, if I didn't say a word, okay, would you have ever, what would you have guessed this was about? I mean, you would have guessed that some horrible white racist group had somehow harmed some innocent black women or something.
Yeah.
Right. That's what you would have guessed, right?
A regular news story.
You never would have guessed basketball, would you?
No. It wouldn't have been a sport. It would have been some
right. Some horrific news story.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The WNBA's All-Star Game this weekend's in Chicago, Emmett Till's hometown, and the local art gallery is currently hosting an exhibit imagining his life if he hadn't been lynched. While it's incumbent on the WNBA to do more to protect its players, there also should be an expectation on Clark to recognize the wider consequences of her actions. Oh, boy. She's a basketball player, Miss Armour. If she stops being an a-hole, she'll start to be treated better. And all of this racial stuff that people on both sides are blowing up could just go away. Can we ever stop for just a minute and cut the friggin' nonsense out? Garnet and Gold, I'm coming right to you. You don't move Garnet and Gold. Let me tell you about my friends at AMPM Farms, Ramona. You know, why is it I always have to tell people about AMPM Farms when I'm the most hungry? I mean, I've been here a long time today. I am absolutely starving. And AMPM Farms has the best beef on earth, okay? AMPM Farms, named after Ashley and Platt Moore, hence the A, the P, and the M, is a mammoth working farm in Fountain Inn, between Fountain Inn and Woodruff. True farm-to-table market, complete traceability, started in 2020 with just 24 head of cattle, grown to over 700 head in just 5 years. Incredible expansion, and demonstrates their success. And look, when you want the best beef, we don't even know what beef is supposed to taste like anymore. The stuff you get in stores ain't it, people. Trust me. Get to AMPM Farms premium pasture-raised beef, 100% grass-fed, never confined, no vaccines, no hormones, no antibiotics. It sets them apart from 95% of the beef in America. GMO-free feed and pesticide-free through rotational grazing. Trust me, they raise their own cattle. You know completely where your food is coming from the farm to your plate in 2 weeks. It's unbelievable, and you will thank me later. I've tried virtually every cut of beef. Their butchers are all chefs. They're experienced. They're knowledgeable. They'll help you with any cut, anything you want. If you want a half cow or a whole cow, they'll vacuum seal it all. They'll deliver it even. They can do that. Listen. Curated selection from 70-plus local farms and artisan partners, including Clemson Blue Cheese, Blue Moon Specialty Foods, Happy Cow Creamery, Naked Pasta, Poppin' Popcorn, more than a butcher shop. It's a local marketplace. Two locations, Fountain Inn, Weston Street, and Travers Res, South Main Street. They're open 7 days a week. You have to get there. You have to get there. And by the way, try their weekly burger flights. It's ongoing. Try something new every week. Weekly burger flights featuring different cuts and different blends of burger. You get it in 20-pound lots. Open 7 days a week at both locations. Visit ampmfarmsbutchery.com to learn more. You'll thank me later. We'll be back.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket. From the start of the Mickey Filer Show to the end of Road Rage. We're streaming live no matter where you are in the world. Download the Roar app today. More wall-to-wall sports.
Yes! Worked at a place previously where you actually liked everybody?
No, you don't like everybody.
Right.
But here,
you like everybody.
I like everybody here.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was asked about something earlier, it is a great place to work because everybody here is a great person. Like I said, if there's an a-hole in the bunch, it's probably me.
Probably.
So, I think That's seriously, though, everybody here likes everybody. It's just a great place. It's a great place to work. Badger Mike says, Clark missed her calling in life. She flops like a pro soccer player. Yeah, and that's part of it. And then she's screaming and yelling and begging for things. I mean, the Garden Goal, to come right to you. The other night, she was, the other night, after ridiculously flopping long after the play was over, and acting injured, and then getting in the official's face and screaming in her face. Somehow they didn't tee her up, which is just remarkable. And they asked her in the post-game press conference about it, Ramona, and she's still telling the same lies. I mean, everybody could clearly see no one touched you, and you're still actually telling the same friggin' lies in the post-game press conference and in this animated way. And people are looking at her. You know what she's like? She's like one of these crazy people in the street. You know, she's like one of these Karens, these Karen types in the street. That's what she's like.
Oh, she's a Karen. Yeah, she's a Karen.
You could get in 654-7627, 654-7627. What is this? That's right. That's exactly it, 605. You're 100% right, Illini Jack. Garnet and Gold. Garnet and Gold. What's going on there, Garnet and Gold?
Hey, man. So, driving back from Orangeburg working, and I got to thinking about something. This is kind of off sports thing. But I remember a place about 20 years ago that I used to go to because you recommended it. I don't even know if it's still open anymore, so I'm not going to say the name of it. But there, you go in, you buy the food, you take it home, heat it up. Chopping Block. That's the name of it, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever happened to that place?
Oh, it's still there.
Oh,
yep.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was, or if maybe you and the owner had fallen out.
Oh, no. One of my best friends. Okay. Actually, one of my best friends.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
He was a great dude, man.
Yep.
Great guy. Every time I went up there, we'd talk about sports and stuff. All right, cool. I didn't realize it was still up there, though. I'm going to have to go back because it's been a long time. I hadn't had a chance to talk to you about this because I've been doing my White Sox stuff to you. So, I'm a little – what is your thoughts on the Tom Herman hire as the OC for Florida State? Do you think that's a – if we get rid of Mike Norvell, this is the guy we want? Because I really don't want him as a head coach if Mike Norvell gets fired.
No, look, again, we're in the a-hole category. I think Tom Herman is a world-class jerk, and I've always thought so. I, unlike the rest of the world, I knew he would fail at Texas and said that all along. And then when he got there and the first thing he did is start bad-mouthing Charlie Strong, I knew I was right. Every one of these loser coaches who gets hired a new job, who goes to a place, and the first thing they do is badmouth the guy who was there. I just don't get it. I don't know what the point of that is. And it just tells me that you're just not the guy. It tells me, like, instantly you're not the guy. And the first thing he did is he ran all this noise about Charlie Strong, and then he was actually worse.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, on the OC type front, that I could see. Okay, that I could see. That is not a direction I personally would go at Florida State for head coach if the Norvell thing does not work out. I think you're one of the more interesting teams in the country this year.
Well, you know, to me, every year being a Florida State fan is like going on a blind date. You don't know what you're going to get. You show up, it may be great, and then it may be the last 2 years. 3 years ago, undefeated. I still feel like we got screwed out of the whole, you know, thing. But, you know, if it was a 12-team playoff back then, we would have gotten in, I'm sure.
And you would have lost by 1,000 points in front of everybody in a playoff game. No matter who you played.
But we would have at least had players that would have not just
I wouldn't have minded had you got in a 12-team playoff, but in a 4-team playoff, I said then I wouldn't have put you in. You're just not the same team. I watched you. There was enough time to watch you without him, and there was just no chance. I mean, you know, so. And I
but
think
defensively, though.
Yeah, but those players knew it, too. They knew they had no chance. When he went down, they knew they had no chance.
I, I know. I mean, I hate
you were terrible after he got hurt. I mean, you were awful after he got hurt. You were terrible. You had no other quarterback.
But we didn't lose a game after he got hurt, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, you played close games against garbage teams.
Louisville was in the ACC championship.
Yeah, no. Come on.
I mean, they weren't great. I mean, I know.
They
I
stunk.
You. But anyway. Well, okay. I'll agree to disagree on that one.
All right.
We weren't great as we were when Travis was there, and I hate it ruined his career and he had to retire. Because of
again,
it,
look, I think if you had him, I think there was a legitimate chance you would have won the national championship. I had no problem leaving you out. That's the way the system worked. It was written right in it. You were not the same team without him, obviously. You were not going to win squat without him, obviously. And so, I mean, the playoff was better for you not being in it. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, well, we're not squat right now anyway, so ain't much. Hey, I am
interested in Florida State this year. I really am. I think that your skill position guys are really talented. I mean, look, there is a chance that you have the best wide receiver and the best running back in the league. There's a chance. I mean, I've made this argument regarding Deuce. He's 6'6", he's 240. No one has an answer for him. Nobody can cover him. It doesn't matter whether you put two on him, put a safety over the top, bracket him. It doesn't matter. Because at the catch point, you have no chance. Because he's a defensive end at the catch point. And then from the Cromaw standpoint, again, I'm the one who keeps making this argument. I don't think Florida State people understand this either. I do not get why you do not give him the ball. I just do not. I don't get why it's a shared circumstance. And I know you brought in Wisner, and I like Wisner, but Chroma is insanely gifted. He is a 6'2", 225, 30-pound back with long speed, and he can make people miss in space. He also can catch the ball. Mm-hmm. He has everything that you could possibly want, and yet for some reason, known only to Norvell and staff, you just do not feed him.
He needs the ball 18 to 22 times a game.
Yes. Yes, as I've been saying
exactly
all along.
Right. I thought the same last year. Yeah. When he had the ball in his hands, it was electric.
Right.
Yeah, there were some plays where, of course, he got stopped short, but that's going to happen. You know, you're not going to hit a home run every play.
Well, your offensive line was no good either.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. That's fair. I mean, it's not as bad as it was 6 or 7 years ago. But it was still pretty bad.
No, not as bad as that, because at that point, you were the worst major college offensive line I had ever seen.
We also had the worst offensive lineman ever taken as a Division I offensive lineman, too. So,
as I said. When he was in high school, when I said I couldn't understand why Florida State was recruiting him. Yes, all those things.
Yep,
and I warned about that group over and over back then. And I actually had a clip on film when the kid was from Wisconsin was playing quarterback. And it's the singular most embarrassing offensive line play I've ever seen. You had five Florida State offensive linemen all try and cut block and pass protection, and all five whiffed. All five were on the ground. It was a complete frigging jailbreak. It's the single worst offensive line snap in the history of collegiate football.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I lived through it and it hurt my feelings. All right, but last thing is, I remember when I told you 75 wins for the White Sox, and you told Ramona, mark it, because there's no way.
I don't know if I said that, but if I didn't say it, I certainly could have, would have.
I think it was something close to it. Yeah. Maybe you just called me an idiot. You're like, no, you're an idiot. There's no way.
Well, but I mean, I think you've told me these kinds of things before. But look, I think the White Sox have had an incredible year, as we've said over and over. I mean, you've played a ton of young players, and they've delivered.
Yeah. And Mizroff last night, 4 for 4.
Yeah.
And Braden scoring three times. I mean, it's, I like the team. I don't know if we can sustain it. We do need some middle relief pitching and some back end starting pitching.
Listen, we would like nothing more than to see your White Sox in the World Series. Let's go.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right, well, good talking to you.
Thank you, Garden and Gold. All right, we'll be back. We'll take a break here.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Upset you missed a show today?
No problem.
We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com.
Touchdown!
And on the Roar app.
Download it today.
Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Yoders. You already know. I mean,